This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
UNICEF Australia is urgently calling for funds to help their work in Pakistan as they face the worst floods of the century. If you're not familiar with their work, UNICEF is the United Nations Children's Fund. They're one of the largest international development agencies dedicated to working with children. Louise Brockbank from UNICEF joins me now. Good morning, Louise.
Good morning, Katrina.
Now, how many people have been affected by the floods and how many of those would be children?
So first of all, 20 million people at the last estimate have been affected, which is greater than the number of people combined the Haiti earthquake and the tsunami put together. But more importantly of those, we have 6 million children who have been affected, and these are some of the most vulnerable children on the planet, even before the floods happened.
What kind of condition were the kids of Pakistan in before the floods?
So life expectancy for a child in Pakistan, 1 in 10 would expect to die before their 5th birthday, and over half of those in the first month. So that's really quite dire. And when you also look at the fact that those that are living, 40% are already under malnourished, and 25% of those haven't been immunized against common diseases, so measles and polio and tetanus and all the things that we would have our own children automatically immunized against. So that just really kind of, in a situation where there's no shelter, no water and no food, just makes them even more susceptible to disease.
And are children more vulnerable to waterborne diseases than adults are?
Yes, they are, Katrina. So diarrhea is one of the biggest killers of children under five in the world today. And if you take a look at Pakistan right now, the River Indus that runs down the center of Pakistan is usually 3 kilometers wide. It is currently today a raging torrent of filthy water at 35 kilometers wide. You can only imagine that children, adults and children alike, but mainly in the main children, they can't get access to clean water. So you can imagine your own child, you know, they get diarrhea from time to time anyway. We all keep gastrolyte in the cupboard, but you know, these children will die of diarrhea, and it is one of the biggest killers if we can't get to them with oral rehydration therapy. And by that I mean just a simple sachet of sugar and salt, which is costs about 8 cents, and five of those can bring a small child back to life.
So the problem is that they just get dehydrated, is that it? From the diarrhea that makes them dehydrated?
That's exactly right. Makes them dehydrated, makes them weak. In some instances, we've seen they get so dehydrated we can't even take a blood sample. And our goal is to make these children cry. And I know that sounds quite ironic, but if they cry, we know then that they are rehydrated enough to live.
How heartbreaking to have to make a child cry like that.
I know. And the other big problem is measles. And I know that sounds trivial as well, because we go through children with measles and chickenpox and other things in our country. But measles is again one of the biggest killers of children under five, and that's because if you get measles, and as a child, if you don't get medical attention, it escalates to respiratory conditions, and they die of pneumonia. So
I never knew that. So actually, vaccinating against measles is quite as
critical. Absolutely, we have enormous global measles campaigns where it really is one of the biggest killers of children under five in developing countries today. It's really absolutely critical that that you do. I mean, obviously, we've got better medical facilities in our country, but in the developing world, it is one of the biggest killers. So we've got massive programs running in, you know, countries around Pakistan. In Bangladesh, we have a huge immunization day where tens millions of children get vaccinated in the days and weeks, twice a year.
And so how long has UNICEF been working in Pakistan?
So we've been on the ground in Pakistan, Katrina, for almost 60 years. And that means that we've had people working already because, as I said, the challenging conditions. You only need to look back 2 years. And in the northwestern area of Pakistan, because of the conflict, 2 million people were already displaced because of that conflict, and many of those children. So families have had to leave their homes and leave their livelihoods already. And then add to this another 20 million people on top affected. And you can see just, I mean, we've never seen anything on the scale of this before.
I mean, obviously people in Pakistan would be used to having monsoons and they're probably, in some ways at least, prepared for them. But this has just been, I guess, of a whole new level.
A whole new level, that's right. They do prepare. I mean, the government prepares, UNICEF prepares. And again, you know, we have been affected just as everybody has. Our store in Pakistan was washed away. So we've had to be shipping in. We've currently airlifted in 100 metric tons into Karachi of oral rehydration salts. So that's equivalent to your Gastrolite that's in your cupboard. We have had to charter a Carter plane from our supply division in Copenhagen. So ordinarily we'd have that on the ground ready, but it's been washed away. So in Copenhagen we have a store that's the size of 23 soccer pitches. So when you're out on Saturday with your children playing soccer, imagine 23 of those soccer pitches that's just filled with supplies. But the challenge is, Katrina, is getting that into Pakistan now.
Okay, and so what's really hindering your work? Is it just the scale of the disaster, or is there a lack of funds issue as well?
It's both. It's the scale and it's also the funds. Listen, we've launched an appeal globally for $45 million and we currently have $15 million. We've already seen very, very generous Australians donating money, and we are, in this office here, we've raised over $300,000 and our aim is to get to $1 million in the next 2 weeks. So we've still got a huge gap to go, but when you consider that $80 can buy 1,000 sachets of oral rehydration therapy, and as I said, five of those can bring a child back to life, or 100 packets of high-protein biscuits so children, you know, they can't get access to food, that they can eat these and keep their strength up so they're not susceptible to common diseases. And then we're also immunizing children. So we're on the ground immunizing children. And a typical vaccine costs a few cents, costs about 21 cents, Katrina.
Well, it sounds like, there's plenty of good causes that the money would be used for. We're talking vaccination, we're talking basic food, and we're talking oral rehydration. So very basic but life-saving things that these kids need.
Yes, that's right. Every dollar can make a difference. We will get that money over there to the children who need it most. We've prioritised 3 million of the most at-risk children, and we will get those urgent supplies to those children in Pakistan.
Okay, so what are the details of how people can find out more or make a donation?
So first of all, jump on the website. If you go to unicef.org.au, that's unicef.org.au, you'll see there a feature on Pakistan on the homepage. Click on the donate button and you're away. Alternatively, if you prefer to pick up the phone right now, it's 1-300-884-233. That's 1-300-884-233.
Okay, well, thank you very much for that, Louise.
Thank you, Katrina. I really appreciate your concern.
That's Louise Brockbank from UNICEF, and don't forget that number, 1-300-884-233, and also unicef.org.au.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.